going to have the first of our lectionary readings set for today from the prophet Isaiah. This is actually a version I found called Easy, just literally Easy. And because I didn't know whether there would be young people here this morning, and the reading when I read it felt quite heavy, and I thought this version was slightly sort of lighter and maybe easier to understand. Thank you.
So Isaiah 49, the Lord's servant. Listen to me, you islands. Listen carefully, you people who live far away. The Lord called me to serve him before I was born. Before my mother gave birth, he used my name to speak to me. The message that he gave me to speak was like a sharp sword. He kept me safe in his hand. He made me like a sharp arrow that he keeps safe and ready to use. He said to me, "You are my servant Israel. Because of you, I will cause people to know that I am great." I said, "My work has been useless. I have worked hard with no results. But the Lord will do what is right for me. He will give me what I deserve for my work." The Lord chose me to be his servant even before I was born. He chose me to bring Jacob's descendants back to himself. He chose me to bring Israel's people together to serve him. As a result, the Lord will honor me. He is the one who makes me strong. The Lord my God says, "As my servant, I have a greater job for you to do. It will not only be to make Jacob's tribes strong again. It will not only be to bring back Israel's people that I have kept safe. It will also be your job to bring light to other nations. You will show people all over the world that I have the power to save them. The Lord is Israel's Redeemer, their Holy God. Nations refuse to accept his servant. Their people hate him, and their rulers have made him their slave. The Lord said to his servant, 'Kings will see you, and they will rise up to respect you. Princes will bow down low in front of you. They will see that the Lord is faithful. He is Israel's holy God who has chosen you to serve him.'"
Thank you. The psalm set for today is Psalm 40, and we're going to read 11 verses of it. And I wonder if you'd like to split sort of one side and the other. So maybe this side, if you would read the white type, and then you would respond, please, with the yellow type. So here we go. "I was patient while I waited for the Lord to help me. He turned towards me, and he heard me when I called to him. He lifted me out of the deep hole of danger. He picked me up out of the mud. He put my feet on a rock. Then I could walk and not slip. He gave me a new song to sing. It was a song to praise our God. Many people will see what God has done to help me. Then they will respect and obey him. Yes, they will trust in the Lord. If anyone trusts in the Lord, he blesses them. They do not expect proud people to help them. They do not join with those people who worship false gods. Lord, my God, you have done many great things. You have done so many things for us that we cannot count them. There is nobody else like you. I want to talk about the things that you have done, but there are too many things to speak about. You do not really want sacrifices and offerings. I understand that. You do not ask for burnt offerings or sin offerings. Then I said, 'Here I am, my God. The message that is written in the book tells me what I must do. I want to do what pleases you. Your law is always in my thoughts. In the great meeting of your people, I have told them about your justice. I cannot keep quiet. You know that this is true, Lord. I have not hidden the good news about your justice. I have told everyone that they can trust you and that you have the power to save. I tell the great meeting of your people about your faithful love. You, Lord, will continue to be kind to me. Please continue to keep me safe because of your faithful love. Amen. How many of you have siblings? So, a lot of you. I don't. I reckon my parents had me and decided not to try again. I was perfection when I came. I don't think. How many of you got older siblings? So you're a younger sibling. Right, quite a few of you. Being a younger sibling, does that affect the way you see yourself? I know I hear of families where, particularly, they always say, don't they, a middle child suffers because they're neither the eldest nor the youngest. They're just the one who came along in the middle, sort of thing. But were you known as yourself, or did you tend to get referred to as so-and-so's younger sister or brother? I don't know if that happened to you. Our grandson, some of you know, is neurodivergent, and sadly that makes life quite difficult sometimes, not just for him, but for his big sister, our granddaughter. And the other week she got quite upset, and she complained to me that at school she is known as Albie's sister. She's not known for her own name, and that makes her angry and upset. We need our own identity, don't we? It's important to us. So I've preempted and missed out a reading now, so I will now introduce, this is typical of me, if you had me more often you'd know I always go off piste. Could we have the reading from John, please? Thank you, Emily. Did you think you'd missed your moment?
This is John chapter 1, 29 to 42. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, and you will see. So they went, and they saw where he was staying, and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter.
Thank you, Emily. So now I can get back to where I was. So the gospel reading tells us about the very first two disciples to follow Jesus. And it was Andrew and another, as they say, don't they? Who was probably John, the writer of the gospel, which is why he doesn't give a name to that second disciple. But Andrew and possibly John. Andrew is referred to so often in the Gospels as the brother of Simon Peter, the younger brother of Simon Peter. And he's just really, isn't he, the younger brother of probably, if I asked you which of the disciples stands out the most, a lot of people would say Peter, just because of his character and the way he went about things. And so Andrew was this person who maybe was in his brother's shadow. But he was the first person to actually follow Jesus. Andrew doesn't really get much of a look in if you read through John's gospel. When you get to the crucial parts like Jairus' daughter, the Mount of Transfiguration, the Garden of Gethsemane, doesn't get a mention. Surely he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, even if he wasn't with Jairus there, or even we know he wasn't at the Mount of Transfiguration. He wasn't one of that inner circle, Peter, James, and John. So he was very much just Simon Peter's brother. So I reckon if you'd met Andrew, he probably didn't stand out in a crowd. That sort of person. He wasn't the one with the loudest voice. I think that would have been Peter. He wasn't the one with the wisest or wittiest remarks. I could imagine John would have had some wise remarks. He seems like a wise sort of man, doesn't he? And he wasn't the once seen, never forgotten follower of Jesus. He was just Andrew. But, as I say, he was the first recorded person to have an encounter with Jesus and be so transformed by that meeting that he immediately wants to share the news with Simon Peter. So that always in the shadow younger brother has had a life-changing experience and he is empowered to be the person who actually brings Simon to Jesus. And that's incredible, isn't it? Because Simon then becomes such a huge figure. If Andrew hadn't bothered to go and fetch him, would it not have happened? Who knows? So it was so important what Andrew did. And if you read it, I could imagine he didn't go and give a complicated explanation all about what had happened, what John had said, and then a deep theological argument of why. He just says that he's found the Messiah. And I think that probably the joy on his face and the conviction in the way he delivered those words was enough to get Simon Peter to go with Andrew back to Jesus to see for himself. So on the outside, Andrew was just probably an unassuming character who lived an ordinary life, and he would have been the first to say that he was nobody special. And we might well have said the same about him if we'd met him, because we tend to look on the outside of people, don't we? Many of us, I'm sure, would describe ourselves and even possibly each other in exactly the same way. But I'm nobody special. I'm just me. But John and I know Alison and David here will be impressed, and I'll probably get the translation or the accent wrong, but John uses a Greek word, emblepine. Is that right, do you think? Sounds all right? I know Andy uses a Greek New Testament, doesn't he? Because that's really impressive at meetings that we go to. He's got his Greek, and I'm really impressed by that. I wish I could. I did learn a little bit of Greek, but I don't know it anymore. But he uses this word, and this word means, translated, it means a concentrated, intent gaze. Jesus looked at people with this intent gaze, because Jesus didn't just look on the outside like we tend to. Jesus's gaze came through and saw within each one of us, sees within each one of us. He sees what's inside us. And that might sound a bit scary, but he doesn't see it for that reason. He sees it because he knows how the Holy Spirit can work within us and bring us to be the people to fulfill the potential that God has put inside each one of us. In our Bible notes the other morning, Ian and I read some words, and when I read them, they were written by a lady in Pennsylvania, USA, but because I was mulling over the thoughts for this morning, it immediately struck me that these words that she'd written were relevant. She put this: when I was a new Christian, I thought I needed a special talent or ability to make Christ known to others. However, as I studied the Bible, I learned that it's the Holy Spirit who makes Christ known by transforming us to be more like him in holiness, grace, and love. As we cooperate with the Spirit's work, we mirror Christ through our words and actions, reflecting the character of Christ and shining his light to the world around us. I've got a sort of a meditation that I invite you to share in. If this makes you feel uncomfortable, please just sit and, you know, just don't worry about it. But can I ask those of you who are happy to do this to close your eyes? Make yourself comfortable and take some slow, deep breaths. God, we pray that you will speak to us through our imagining. Imagine that you are hidden safely in God's gentle hands. So what do you feel as you rest there? While you are hidden, God is preparing you. Think about your strengths. What are you good at? God knows your strengths, and God is growing these. What does it look like and feel like for your strengths to be growing? While you are hidden, God is preparing you. Think about your weaknesses. What do you need help with? God knows your weaknesses, and God is finally working on those. What does it look like and feel like for your weaknesses to be worked on and strengthened? It's been warm and safe being hidden, but now you are ready to leave God's hands. What does it feel like as you are ready to be revealed? It's time to go out into the world and reveal who you are. Who might God be calling you to be? We are also called to reveal who God is. How has God revealed himself to you today? When you are ready, slowly open your eyes and become more aware of the sights and sounds around you. And as you leave this place this morning, I encourage you to continue reflecting on what was revealed to you through your imagining.